If you're easily offended, do not continue to listen.
Love you.
My name is Oliver Queen.
You died. I went to your funeral with you.
The city needs saving.
What the hell are we going to do with the time?
That was Rip. This is John Constantine.
I'm from the future.
Because you can inspire
me. My name is Barry Allen.
Oh, doubtful, mate. You see, I am an accomplished warlock, an expert of the occult, and a master of exorcism.
You people become a team.
Hey, cuz.
It's good to see you.
This looks like a job for the both of us.
None of you will. Heroes. You're legends.
What is up, everybody? You're listening to DC on RMD, Legends of Tomorrow edition on Rayman Digital. I am still trying to remember there after 4 years and 300 shows that we've changed our name.
It isn't as easy as you would think.
No, it's not. You would think it's just something you go through mindlessly at the beginning of shows.
Yeah.
If you're listening to us from your desktop, you can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify by searching DC on RMD. If you're a subscriber before, we've just changed the name of the feed. Go ahead and like, subscribe, rate and review for us. It helps us out a lot. Today we'll be breaking down and discussing Legends of Tomorrow Season 4, Episode 11, Seance and Sensibility, directed by Alexandria LaRoche, written by Granny Godfrey and Jackie Canino. So, this one, Legends of Tomorrow is weird for me, because I enjoy watching it, but I don't know if I so much enjoy breaking it down anymore.
Well, it's hard when there's 5 minutes of story and 50, 47 minutes of silliness that really doesn't matter.
Right. And I thought it was only me until I got in the studio and we started just talking a little bit about it before. But they're doing so much now about, you know, breaking the fourth wall and looking at the camera and talking and just so much cheese. I think they've lost who they are as a show.
I don't think they know who they are as a show, honestly. And yes, people keep saying, well, the show is better, but the people that were on board this show left at the end of season 3. And now the people they have watching are, for the most part, the loyal audiences and some new people that like this type of cheese. And you're right. I didn't even think of that, like putting it the way you did. I do enjoy watching the show. But it's not even worth really doing a discussion because nothing really happens. It's just silliness on top of silliness. I mean, and this week's episode was like a Disney episode. I know they were going for that whole like Bollywood musical, and I get that. But every episode now is essentially a parody.
Well, yeah, and I don't know where it stopped. Like, when did we lose direction?
Yeah. Do you remember last season? You, me, and Lauren were talking about how silly the show got.
Yeah.
And we were like, you know what? But it's okay because they always manage to bring it back to something meaningful. At the center of that madness, that silliness, there was a story about one of our characters.
Yeah. And as silly as it was last year, as much as Bebo the Destroyer was the biggest, like, weirdest thing we've ever seen, it had a purpose.
It did.
You're not going to see that with, you know, the Master of Kama Sutra and, the, you know, all these demons that are out there. And it's so weird because I'm so torn because it entertains me. It 100% entertains me, but it entertains me like South Park does.
Yeah, it's something you like smoke out to and then you just sit back and like,
well, yeah, it gets to that point to where I don't know if episode order matters. You know,
oh, no, it doesn't.
We're into that Saturday Night Live, In Living Color, what are we going to spoof and parody this week?
It's a procedural with some myth arc moments to keep an overarching story.
Yeah. So, you know, again, it's just getting real campy for me. But there's so many moments that I love and the way they used, you know, the Kama Sutra God this week,
Yeah.
It was entertaining. So I can't exactly hate on everything that they're doing because I'm like, oh, well, I enjoyed my, 52 minutes or whatever it is without commercials. And the fact that they used it to show the sexual tension that we already know is there between all these characters,
right,
with it being on the ship, it was hilarious. I could sit there and watch, Ray the whole time as he's developed into this overgrown virgin Boy Scout.
Superman, you mean?
Yes. At least it seems like Superman touched some titty before.
That's true. Well, he does have a son, so
yeah.
We do know he got to at least, what, third base?
At least. I mean, he can shoot sperm probably through anything at this point.
Maybe even first base.
But, he's turned into this adult virgin Boy Scout to where you're just kind of giggling along as he's laying next to a girl for the first time, and they're doing that creepy hand touch, or not creepy, but creeping towards each other hand touch. And right. I'm like, I remember doing that when I was like 15 or 16.
Oh, yeah.
Being at a party and having a girl lay next to me for the first time at night and going, oh, let's see. I'm going to start off by touching her hand. If I touch her hand, maybe we can go a little further than that.
I thought when you touch hands, it was sex. So I told everybody I had sex. I was like, isn't that sex? Is that not how it works? I didn't know. I was 17, I think, at the time, too.
So basically, E.T. had sex with Elliot?
Oh, wow. Yeah, I guess so. That's why you wanted to go home.
Stupid. It's awful. I'm done. Finished here. Got to go home.
Oh, man.
But we talk about development of characters, and we look at Ray and what they did with him this week and how goofy he's become. This isn't the character that they introduced to us 5 years ago.
The guy that wanted to be a hero.
The guy that wanted to be a hero. The guy that was mourning the loss of his wife. The man who just wanted to be Oliver, basically.
Do you remember how brooding he was when we first met him in Arrow?
Yeah, and now he's just a
clown?
A clown. This is what this show has turned this man into, where other people have progressed forward as, Mick and Sarah. I think Ray has now turned into a complete character of himself.
Yeah, they have definitely sidelined some character growth, unfortunately, because there are moments, like you said, with Sarah that is good. And I also specifically liked what they did with Zari this week, because we've all said this since her introduction. She has this exterior, and we don't know if we like her because she has this rough and tough mentality, and she never allows herself to relax. So what they did this week with the use of the magic spell, it allowed us to kind of break through that tough exterior so that we can kind of see the real Zari that she wants to be, but because of her insecurity, she probably keeps it inside. So I do like that. There are smart things that they do with some of the silliness, but for the most part, like I said, you have 47 minutes of just ridiculousness and maybe 5 to 6 minutes of real solid substance.
And so you bring up Zari. Has she become more attractive as they break her down?
I think it's because she's likable now, because she's never been an ugly girl. Mm-hmm. She's always been pretty. But now that she's likable, I'm drawn to her now.
It's weird. She gives off that vibe on screen like we all could bang her.
Oh, Jesus. You think she's easy?
No, I just feel like she's obtainable.
Oh, yeah.
And I thought that was funny. Like, but with the Zari character, and I think she's the best at, they've used at breaking that fourth wall.
Yeah.
When they're having the threesome. And by the way, the threesome thing and all the sex that was going on, I was very shocked by it just because of how campy it was, mm-hmm. and that they went to more adult like themes like threesomes.
I think that's why they got away with it, because it's masked in humor like that. Because if they just straight up went, we're going to have threesomes and we're all going to fuck, CW would be like, wait a second, hold back, hold up here.
You think that's it? It's because, threesomes are are okay if they're funny.
Right. It's all about tone. That is more, I want to say, censor boards and executives at networks are more about tone than actually what's happening. It's the way a lot of these violent shows get away with.
It's how you say it, not what you say.
Right.
I gotcha.
Yeah.
It honestly, that was probably the most shocking part of this show for me, was when they started going that way, because it's just something I didn't expect out of them.
Yeah.
For Ray to be stripping down and showing his muscles.
Did he lose some of his muscle? Wasn't he a lot buffer before?
I don't know.
Don't get me wrong. The guy is fit as hell. But I'm just saying, I remember him being like even a few years back when he was there was a makeout scene with Felicity and Arrow. And I think that dude was shirtless and he was rugged as fuck. Like he had some shredded abs, big old like cleft underneath the chest. Yes, I obviously was checking him out. I memorized it. It was emblazed into my mind.
It's not gay because you're using proper terms.
Exactly. The cleft underneath the pecs, the visible dick outlines.
Yes. Yeah, the dick arrow. No, but I think what you got there is a man who's comfortable in who he is and in front of his wife and completely dad bought out now because that's the thing.
Yeah.
But it was just such a shocker on how they turned it for me.
Yeah.
And I think it was so weird and inconsistent about, like, why would you go for these sex things right into the Bollywood music video? Like, and those are the decisions I'm like confused by, because when you say Kama Sutra, you don't go to Bollywood and think that's where we go from here.
They were just throwing everything Indian into it.
But it was just like, what did she say? I'm a Muslim and you're a Hindu. Why are we in a Bollywood thing? And it's just like, holy shit, you know?
They call themselves out before they do the stupid deeds.
They are like, shut up, Reddit. We understand.
Yeah.
And
we understand Muslims and Indians are not the same people. We get it.
Thank you.
Come again. That's not Indian, by the way. Well, it could be.
It could be. It just matters if you're Apu from The Simpsons.
Yes, exactly.
How you say it. But what this actually did for me, like that music video, I have a fetish I did not know about before.
Oh, wow. What is it?
That Bollywood look is fucking on point.
Yeah.
Do
you think it's because Zari is just attractive?
But yeah, I mean, well, they all are, I guess, because they all, you know, all the girls were in it.
Right. If Melissa McCarthy who's the chub one?
Yes, Melissa, that would be right.
Like, if Melissa McCarthy was dressed in, Bollywood clothing, we'd be like,
Yeah, see, that's weird for me because she's cousins with Jenny McCarthy. And I think I would sleep with Melissa to get closer to Jenny.
Wow. Really? You want your kids to have measles?
I don't think that's a whole like family code of conduct.
I think it is. She's now she anti-vaxxed herself, and now
it's on their crest.
Yeah, well,
like, no needle.
STDs. Like if you instead of like getting AIDS or HPV, you can get measles now if you have intercourse with Jennifer McCarthy. That's what I heard.
I got measles by going down on Jenny McCarthy.
Yeah, Donnie Wahlberg tweeted that I think a couple weeks ago.
So Donnie Wahlberg in Sixth Sense is basically the side effect of having sex.
Yes,
with Jenny McCarthy.
Mm-hmm. Breaking Nicole Sweats.
Yep.
Yeah.
Just completely ate it out. But the Bollywood musical brought up this article that I found from EW to where Phil Klemmer, the producer and showrunner of Legends of Tomorrow, wants to do a whole music video episode based on Sting and the Police. Now, he had this about, you know, if you read through the article, just about Sarah getting pulled up on stage. They would hold this whole MTV vision that he has of Sarah getting pulled on stage by Bruce Springsteen instead of Courtney Cox. And then Sarah ends up on Friends. And
you know, the sad thing is that a lot of these jokes are going over the heads of their target demo. That's what I don't understand why they're doing this. Their target demo doesn't understand any of these parodies.
Doesn't understand MTV.
Exactly. The people that understand it are us. And for the most part, we're not the age range that's watching this show.
Well, and you got to think about it. When you bring up Bruce Springsteen and Courtney Cox,
who the fuck are they? If you're like under the age of 20.
But even that video, me and you were like 4 and 5.
Yeah.
You know, that's not
yes,
our
exactly
teenage
right.
years. So, and we're at the peak of the demo that you talk about.
Yeah.
And so, you know, when they bring up stuff like this, it's where is Berlanti to tell people no? You know, these are his shows.
He's worried about DC Universe now.
Do you think that's how checked out they are?
He put two fingers up and said, hey, guys, we're doing some great shit over on DC Universe. Later.
Hey, we're syndicated. Peace.
Who's that guy that got fired for sexual harassment?
Andrew Kreisberg.
Yeah. Like, bring Andrew Kreisberg back to deal with the CW shit. I'm out of here.
But But when I read through the article and they sit there and they talk about this and how Constantine would have learned his swagger by some dude in police and they would have had to break up police so Sting could go out on their own because police was together. And I'm like, it's a complete legend show that I would enjoy watching, but makes absolutely no sense that they don't have those people telling them no anymore. And it pains me that to think at the beginning of the year, or at least during the summer, when we talked about Legends, it was supposed to be around John Constantine and in this apartment and what was going on with him. And what we have now is basically a superhero in living color Saturday Night Live Mad TV skit.
Yeah. That's a perfect way to just frame this show.
I'm confused by it, and I get worried about.
Do you think there's even a script anymore? Do you think a lot of it's just ad-libbed?
I think a lot of it is ad-libbed, especially when it comes to things like the looks into the camera and stuff. I think they're breaking it themselves. That they think it's funny, or hey, can we get another take here where you look in the camera and you go, I know it's a dream, but I want to dick anyway.
Oh,
that was the.
Yeah, I know.
That hit the floor. That actually didn't make the TV show.
That was cut.
Yeah.
There's no amount of levity that can allow that through the censors.
And then Richard Nixon falls on the floor and we're like, oh, look, it's a dick.
that was in the last episode, right?
That was
right?
The last episode where they kept making dick in the box jokes.
That was funny. That was funny.
And again, it sounds like I'm going off on it on like I hate it, but I don't.
It's just not rich. That's it. It's just it lacks substance.
Yes,
but it's still fun.
It is so one layered.
And if the show had started this way, I don't think I would even complain because I'd be like, okay, this is the show.
I think this is NBC tried to do that comedy. Superhero comedy.
Yep. Yep.
I feel like if they would have done it this way,
it would have worked.
It would have worked a lot better.
Yeah.
Because why not have a time traveling superhero group that has to go basically play Quantum Leap and solve things and not have any kind of story and don't worry about it.
Solve things and not have a story that they don't have to worry about. Another great way to frame it. I hope you never send hate mail to like these directors. I think you would hurt them. They're like, Jesus Christ, he's right. He's right. Who's this guy? Bobby D from RMD? Like, he's right.
Because
I don't like it, but he's right.
It's tough. It really is. I don't know.
Yeah.
All right. With that, let's take a break. When we get back, we'll actually get into the actual meat of this episode.
I'm trying to listen to this guy. He gives a hell of a speech.
DC on CW. We'll be right back.
Star Wars from the Butter Tank Exclusive.
Netflix operation.
However, hey, we don't want to miss it, because what if it ends up being true? No matter how fake it may be, Amidala coming back to life, Lando suddenly having a daughter because someone's also black like him. I mean, let's forget the subtle racism of that.
Is everyone who's black is related to Lando?
They're not, Dave. They're not. You mean all black people in the universe is not connected to Lando?
Well, remember, there are people out there that still say Finn, the big surprise is going to be Finn is related to Lando.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, guys, did you guys not learn anything from watching Get Out? I mean, casual racism is the worst form of racism.
It is.
It's when you don't even realize you're being racist, right? I hope it's not just a cameo. Like, if they're going to bring Carl Weathers in, give him a fair shot. Give him something to sink his teeth in. Let's see Carl Weathers, play the role of the lifetime and finally shake off the Apollo Creed funk.
He's so charismatic.
What if he's related to Lando? I mean, what if he's...
I tried to stay away from that.
No, I'm just saying, what if Apollo Creed's like Lando's brother?
Because he's black.
Well, yeah, according to some people, all black people are related in Star Wars. I think he might end up being Finn's father Lando's brother. That means Finn is Lando's nephew.
What happens if they actually do that?
I'm probably going to throw my popcorn at the screen. I'm like, oh, you
son of a bitch.
You sons of bitches.
From the back tank.com. For free stuff is awesome, but free stuff that will spice up your bedroom is even better. Just go to adamandeve.com and select almost any one item for 50% off, and then we'll load on the free stuff. Just enter this very exclusive code, Rain Man, at checkout, and you'll get 10 tantalizing free gifts, including a sexy item for him, a special toy for her,
ooh,
and a third item you'll both enjoy.
Ooh.
And 6 extra special bonus items that are sure to rev your engine, pique your curiosity, and even blow you away. Plus,
free shipping!
Always sent in discreet packaging. Go to adamandeve.com now. Get 50% off plus the 10 free gifts when you enter the exclusive offer code RAINMAN. Again, that's RAINMAN. Because without it, no free stuff. That's RAINMAN at adamandeve.com.
What are you looking at, nerd? Huh?
I thought I was looking at my mother's old douchebag, but that's in Ohio.
Geek Out Saturday.
But at the same time, then you wouldn't have this feeling that, okay, so Lucifer's just what? Sitting on his hands and knees?
With King Shark.
You're getting,
I was getting a shark tattoo. And like, what I watched the nerd. Episode
Especially
after.
The way it ended. I mean, you end it with Rey climbing the mountain, holding out the lightsaber to Luke. And
funny
Luke
that some
out.
Of my favorite Westerns are coming from the Euro countries. Mm-hmm. To this day, directors and writers are able to bring the heat in terms of American.
Yeah, I mean, don't get me wrong, Mad Max was really good, but they washed out a lot of it to kind of hide the special effects that they were doing.
Yeah.
And that's fine.
Catch up on your favorite Rain Man digital geek shows every Saturday. DC on CW, Back to Tank, Weird West Radio, The Crossroads, and more. Geek Out Saturday on Rain Man Channel 001. Listen for the Rain Man digital app or tune in. Just search RM Channel 001.
All right, we are back. Again, go find us, DC on RMD. Like, subscribe, rate, review, do all those cool things for us. It helps us out. We have all kinds of new shows coming out. Mike's on Doom Patrol right now. A better version of Legends,
yeah.
Story-wise. So if you guys are into the DCU app, we're going to have Swamp Thing. We're going to cover a bunch of different things. So go ahead and follow those, subscribe to our feed. So when those shows come out, you're the first to hear it.
Yeah.
The burial of Nate's dad, I thought was, I think where the only story part came from this episode.
Yeah.
And I was kind of distracted throughout it because Ava's still not around, and this is the second episode that she hasn't showed up.
Well, now, she's giving Sarah the silent treatment.
Yeah, but giving Sarah the silent, say I hated or I broke up with somebody and somebody dead close to me died that I worked for. I wouldn't be avoiding a funeral. That just seems real selfish.
It's a dick move, yeah.
And I don't know if it's painting the best picture for Ava, or maybe because they're not even bringing it up, it's not even a worry.
Well, especially because she took Henry Haywood's side. Like, you would think she would be at his funeral.
You would think,
yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's her boss. She took his side and chose to believe him over Sarah. It would make sense that she would be there. Like, it was a bit weird.
Why would you worry about if the legends were there at a funeral that big?
Yeah.
You could sit there and hope that everybody's going to be an adult that whole time. Now, during this episode, I think we saw probably the most Constantine-type things we've seen in,
thank God.
Episodes, maybe 6. With the covering of the mirrors and worrying about, and, they did cool things to show Nora how magical she is, that she's able to communicate through those mirrors also. And you see that Nate's dad is still around, that the spirit's still around. And so we get him doing investigation because we really don't know what was going on with this.
Yeah, it's a bit murky. You're talking about with
the magical men in black and the magical creatures,
right,
and where they're going. And it was just left up in the air. And we all just assumed that this was going to be some kind of evil army type thing going on.
Yeah.
I can't tell you how disappointed I was when it's basically Jurassic Park for fucking weirdos.
Yeah.
That we are creating the magical world of Harry Potter with real life magical creatures.
I didn't believe what I was watching, to be honest with you. I had to rewind it to make sure I didn't miss something, that maybe this was like a joke.
That was part of the spell.
Yeah, I thought it was. Yes, that's exactly what I thought it was, because it was so over the top. Like, you take this character, Henry Haywood, who's like a hardened,
you know, military officer and government official, right? And he suddenly becomes Walt Disney.
Yeah.
And he's like walking around all excited, like, I've been building this park secretly for my son.
Welcome to Haywood.
Yeah.
And that was weird because you're right. They've built up this character this whole time, you know, that he was running away from Nate, you know, the family to deal with all these secret government issues. And, you know, they told this heartfelt story on how, you know, they were trying to go to Disney World or Disneyland, whatever one it was. And, you know, that's why he was doing this, which was okay. I just didn't think it fit with the man that they've built up over the first, you know, 11 episodes or, you know, and it just was very weird for me. That was the answer.
Yeah, I agree. It was weird because it was very unexpected. But at the same time, once again, they kind of drew me in because this was the only real substance of the episode.
Uh-huh.
It made you do an aha moment. His dad's dead. What? Like, that's too bad. Like, he, this whole time, and because it doesn't matter about Henry Haywood. It's about Nate.
It's
and
about
the
Nate.
Fact
yeah.
that Nate thought the worst of his father to the point that he talked shit about him at his own funeral.
Yeah, and I was going to bring that up right now. Does that that development into this character make Nate look like a fucking piece of shit? Because could you imagine going to a funeral of a loved one and everybody wants you to go speak, and then you're just like, asshole.
Fuck him. He touched me when I was a child.
Yeah.
It's true, Mom. It's true. Where were you?
Thanks, Mom. But, you know, he gives that toast or, you know, lack thereof to remember his dad. Then he goes and finds out that his dad has been doing this for him.
Yeah.
This whole time. It made Nate look like an asshole.
Right. And I think whatever they do with him moving forward will decide whether or not that was a good move. So if they use it as a way to make him reflect on his actions, to create some type of internal like remorse or regret that he didn't take the time to actually learn, what's the word I'm looking for? That he didn't give his dad a chance.
Yeah.
That he didn't believe him, even though his dad asked him to have trust in him, to have faith in him. I can't tell you what's going on. So if they take it that direction over the next two or three episodes, then I think that will be fine. But if they let it drop and they just go right back into the shenanigans, then yeah. I mean, Nate's an asshole. Like, he's got to regret his actions.
The first thing I would do after I found that out is go find that neuralizer thing and go zap my mom.
Oh, because the whole crew.
Yeah, because I wouldn't want I wouldn't want anybody to remember the fact that that was kind of the eulogy I gave for my father. You know, like, oh shit, I'm a dick. I'm gonna go back on the ship, grab this real quick, and come back and zap you.
It was a bit selfish because even though he might have felt that way, right, about his father, and it was his truth, you would think that a son would worry about his mother and how she feels about it.
Yeah.
Why not say something a little more encouraging to help her through this tough time?
He was a man. God bless.
Right. Just keep it simple, but something that wouldn't disrespect your mother, because that's what it came off as well. Forget the second that he disrespected a man who's dead. Okay. The fact that his mother, who's alive, he disrespected her in front of everyone.
Well, yeah. And you got to think of, you know, all the little fucking yappy yentas out there.
Yeah.
That would just sit there and just be like, did you see the way that Nate just disrespected his dad? I feel bad for the mom. Hi. Sorry for your loss. You know, that's the type of scenarios that really happen.
Especially in that type of ritzy neighborhood.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, they'll just be yapping away. Now, this week we get a little more into the Neron Constantine character, and you are a number one Constantine buff.
Mm-hmm.
How do you, like, I complain to Lauren about every week about how they're using him, because I wanted Constantine and Friends. I didn't want Legends of Tomorrow, according to her. Do you think they're using him right? In general,
I like his scary vibe, and I like what they're doing with him, but they're not doing enough with him. You introduce this villain that's kind of pulling all the strings, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he's doing nothing. He's doing absolutely nothing. Now, I do like what it does for Constantine, at least for 30 seconds, you know, when he realizes what's going on between his lover and and the demon.
Yep.
So I like that, but no, they're not handling Neron.
Neron or Constantine.
No. I mean, I am a huge Constantine fan, and I have spoken to a lot of my Constantine fellow friends.
Oh, inside information.
On the interwebs.
Yeah.
Oh, and we don't like...
I was on the dark underwebs of the interwebs about Constantine.
Me and my Reddit friends were very disappointed. No.
They become comic book
guy? But yeah, nobody likes what they're doing with him. If you're a Constantine fan, there are those fans that, you know how they just try to be excitable about everything when they love a certain character, no matter how shitty he's written.
I've never done that about Batman.
See, that's what a lot of
George
people
Clooney's
do, though.
Fucking excellent.
I know people that would say that. You got to have a little bit of objectivity when it comes to your characters, and no, that Constantine is the biggest disappointment of the season for me. Now, when they do right by him, he's fantastic. Anytime Matt Ryan talks is a win. He's great as Constantine. He, in my opinion, he is Constantine. I don't want anybody else ever cast, but they squander that man's talent and they squander that character. And he's the only A-list superhero, if you want to call him that.
Yeah.
In that group, and they have marginalized him to a circus act. He is a joke. He's a punchline.
And so does it pain you more that now that we're watching Doom Patrol again, available on our feed, if you guys don't know, plug.
Yes. And I know not every show should be the same, but.
But there's a very Constantine-like character in there. And it reminded me of, you know, watching that show. It reminds me that. Why isn't Constantine walking around his back like he used to on the NBC show? Yeah. And he should just be pulling out chicken bones and just random shit the whole time, like fixing things.
Yeah.
And, you know, and we're not getting that from him enough for me, because I, you know, as much as I like him, I hope he's not here next year.
Yeah,
I don't want to watch this watered down version of this man.
I don't want them to character assassinate, which is something the writers for the CW do a lot with characters. They take characters that you love and you like them for a little while, and then they just destroy them. And I agree. I would like him not to be a part of Legends next year because they're not using him correctly. And I don't want them to like tarnish who he is.
And then it becomes Ray.
Yeah.
Man, you know, just a completely different character than we know.
Yeah.
Speaking of character assassination, Mona fucking sucks.
No.
Is that not the worst character in the Arrowverse history?
She's the Legends of history. Tomorrow's Felicity.
No, Felicity at least does something.
Well, she did for a few years.
You know, I won't even put Felicity on her. Like, I was honestly trying to think of, like, top five all-time characters that I would kill.
The only
Mona took up four of the top five.
Wow.
That's how bad she is to me. I can't stand when she's on screen. When she went to Jane Austen and was like, stop teaching me how to love, or whatever the fuck she did when she turned into that funky-ass STD werewolf that she is now. I can't stand her when she's on screen. She was honestly the worst part of the episode. She's been the worst part of the episode for like 3 weeks for me.
Yeah, I don't know why they're using her. I mean, the only redeeming quality about her is that she has big boobs. That's it.
She doesn't have
big
boobs for Nation?
No, watch when she's running. She's got some, I'm a creep. She's got some pretty meaty hangers there.
Okay, for those who have listened so far, see the difference the way he describes Brandon Roth's titties compared to Mona's titties.
Yeah, which one's sexier, Bob? Meaty hangers or a nice deep clef underneath the pec?
Deep clef. I will take his deep clef anytime over her meaty hangers.
That's so disgusting, meaty hangers. I can't believe that came out of my mouth. I'm ashamed.
Yeah, well, sorry. It's, you know, what else can you do?
Yeah.
She really needs to go away because she brings down the show. It's the part that I either want to fast forward through or get on my phone and just be done with it. I don't know what they're doing with her. if
it's a very weird storyline. She fell in love with a werewolf. She becomes a werewolf. And now she is all angsty because the werewolf got killed. He was a murderer. He murdered people. And, he should have been killed.
And I think the best Zari moment, if we can call it, I mean, because she had pretty good moments,
yeah,
was when she basically looked at her and basically told her to fuck off. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It was, we have those moments where I feel like the writers are talking to the internet and stuff. This was a writer like going, all right, this is what our viewers are Zari right now. And this is what they're thinking of Mona. They have to be because she's so bad. And
how many writers wrote this episode this week?
It was two.
It's probably one writer hating what the other writer's doing. One writer probably writes for Mona and another writer writes for Zari. He's a fucking suck as a writer. I'm going to wage war against your character. And they're just waging war against each other within the writing. Meta. It's all meta. It's got to be something, man, because how do you... But this is something they do on Arrow, too. I've never watched TV shows where they create a character that's obviously annoying. There's no way you cannot watch an episode of TV of these shows and say, yeah, that person's not annoying. Why do they do those things? Why do they create those annoying characters?
And if you ever say you're the Felicity of her group, you probably should look into yourself.
No.
I'm like the Felicity of her group. Fucking annoying. I'm the Mona of our group.
Look
fucking
out,
annoying.
A fist is going to come right at you then.
So with her, like, I always try to look at these characters, and we've seen so many characters get redeemed and be able to turn into something that you just don't expect. Whether, you know, Zari is our latest example.
Yeah.
I don't know if they could ever recover from Mona.
Oh, man. That's a hard one. I didn't like Ava Sharp, and now I do for the most part. I don't like when they create these weird, immature relationship story arcs. I think it's silly, but I do like her as a character. Who else did we not like? I think that was it, right? I think all of us, we didn't really care for Ava for a while, right?
And cock people.
Oh, yeah. They never had a chance to redeem
themselves.
They never
had a chance for the cock people.
Yeah.
But Mona is definitely, without a doubt, not redeemable at all. And I always wonder, you know, again, it's hard to say with how bad the cock people were, but when they create these characters out of nowhere that this doesn't have DC lore behind it, is this where they're falling short? I'm not sure if Ava was part of it.
No.
And, you know, you don't see, you know, if it's their homegrown characters that they're having an issue with. I mean, the only homegrown character that's ever made anything is Diggle.
Yeah. And he's fantastic.
Yeah. And that might just be because David Ramsey's a fucking badass.
Yeah. That's fair. I mean, technically, this entire show isn't really from anything. It's all just thrown together. However, the characters all are from.
You at least have something archives to go off of.
Yes.
You know, this is who this person is and blah, blah, blah. So,
yeah.
All right. Let's get into some final thoughts. For me, it sounds like I'm complaining a lot this week about this episode. But it was entertaining. I'm complaining because it's just no substance behind it. That they're not following a storyline, that this could definitely be, I think, like we were joking a little bit earlier, like those South Park and Living Color, Saturday Night Live, I can watch them in any order type episodes. And I think the most disappointing part of it for me is the fact that, you know, I expected Constantine and Friends, that this was supposed to be based on Constantine, this story about the magical demons and how he was going to pull everything back in. And now I'm getting, you know, whatever the latest trend is. Like, I want to do a Bollywood movie video with Kama Sutra dude. Let's do this.
Yeah.
And it's disappointing me when I have to think about how to come in here and critically break it down and try to find some substance behind what they're doing.
Yeah. Well, it's hard to make a show out of 5 minutes.
Yeah. And
that's what we're given. 5 minutes of substance.
And it's so weird for me to look forward to something but not look forward to talking about it.
Yeah, I agree, man. Like, this is sheer escapism at this point. And if it was just a show that I turned on in the background while I cooked or did whatever, catch up on work, then I'd be okay with it. But the fact that we do have to come in and discuss and break down – there's just not a lot to break down. And if that's the show from day one, I wouldn't even be complaining because that's the show. But even last year, before they completely gave up, last year they had the silliness that they have going on now. But the one thing that kept everything connected and made you want to watch was they did have those intimate stories each week. Mm-hmm. They focused on building up a character. Now they have done away with all of that and just made silly antics after silly antics with just a couple minutes of real moments. And that's a shame when you have a show that was built on the morose, brooding, wannabe mentality of these characters and the fact that they weren't destined to be heroes. They were destined to be legends, and that's it. And not even that, because Rip lied to them. That was their turmoil. That was their arc, and to become actual heroes. And they have just let the entire concept just fall away, and it became a Ren Faire act. That's all it is.
Yeah, definitely. And we'll see what they do in this last whatever 6 weeks that we have. Because hopefully that the Neron thing coming in at the end of it will start structuring the story a little bit better.
Yeah, I hope so.
Because if they go away from what they're doing and try to force feed it in like the last 3 weeks, it's gonna be weird because they're gonna have to take a completely different direction.
Yeah.
So they got to continue what they started on in our 5 minutes of actual story this week.
Right.
All right, that's going to do it for today's DC on CW Legends Edition. Remember, you can always catch any past and future episodes on DCOnRMD.com. Thank you, Mike.
No problem.
We'll talk to you next week.
People want Kaja!